Just want to say good morning to each one and welcome to each one. So I was blessed already this morning by what we've heard and many of the songs that we sang. And I might just say that this morning when we were about ready to come, I couldn't find some of my notes. And a few things that I had written down. So I think I remember some of them, but not all. I don't remember all the scripture reference I had on that. But what I want to talk about this morning is the final judgment. We want to talk about the final judgment. There's a lot written in the Bible about that. And I by far don't know everything about it. I don't have all the scriptures for that, but I just want to talk about it, what I studied on, and see what we can learn from that. And I don't mean for this message to point fingers at anybody, to think that somebody needs it more than I do. And it's just for an encouragement to us, for the ones that are a child of God and are prepared, and for those that are not, it's a message for them as well. We do want to be prepared and ready to meet the Lord. When I was preparing for this, I had to think of some of my older sisters when they were dating. And, of course, we did it a little different in the setting we come from than what we do here. But every other Saturday night, Saturdays, they would prepare all day for, make the house clean and everything, try to just get it just right for when their boyfriend would come. So then when he would come, the house would be all clean and everything would be just ready. And I had to think of that when I was preparing for this. And that's, in a sense, that's what we want to do here on earth while we're living here, being prepared, getting ready and being prepared for when our Lord Jesus returns. I had there's somebody that I know very well that would sometimes he would ask this question, say, "What are you doing while you're waiting?" So I asked that question for you. What are you doing while you are waiting? I think that's something like that. So what are we doing to prepare while we're waiting on the Lord Jesus to return? Are we getting ready for Him? Or do we think we are ready for Him? Or what are we doing? The final judgment. So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 25. Starting in verse 31 and read to the end. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall He be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was in hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was in hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and athirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So that's God's word there speaking. That's not me saying that. That's God speaking there, the scripture there that I just read. And I don't think it should be a fear, or we should not be afraid of these words, unless we are not prepared and ready, unless we are not one of God's children, then it should be enough to get our attention. It should get our attention for that. Because someday God will return and he will take his children with him, and the rest of them cannot go with him. And I just want to go through here and talk a little bit about this and read some more scripture. You won't have to turn to all of the scriptures that I read, but some of them. The first thing to understand about the final judgment is that it cannot be avoided, regardless of how we may choose to interpret prophecy on the end times. We are told that it is appointed unto men once to die. And that verse there is found in Hebrews 9:27. It says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So what are you doing while you're waiting? If that makes any sense, I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not. But what are we doing while we are waiting? Are we preparing ourselves to go with the Lord? And when I say preparing ourselves to go with the Lord, I don't mean packing our suitcases and storing our treasures here and there to take them with us, because we cannot and we will not take any of those with us, you know, our treasures and things like that. We probably won't even think of those things when he returns. In John, Revelation 20, verse 11 and 15. John talks about the final judgment in Revelation 20. Verses 11 through 15. It said, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there we see that it seems like God is going to have some books that our records are written down in. And when he returns, then he will open those books and he will read from those books. And the ones that were not found in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. It's more than one book. It says here the books and then another book. So what are we, again I ask, what are we doing while we are waiting? That lake of fire is not going to be very pleasant. It's not going to be something that we would want to be. And we have that opportunity today to come to the Lord and ask him to change us. But once that day, once Jesus returns, then it will be too late to do that. But today, we can still do that as long as he is not returned. At the judgment, the books were open. They represent God's judgment, and in them are recorded the deeds of everyone, good or evil. The book of life contains the names of those who put their trust in Christ to save them. I hope that every one of our names will be found in that book, everyone that is sitting here. And if we know that it's not, then we still have that opportunity to do something about it. It's a choice we have to make ourselves. We cannot force you to do it, but it's a choice that we have to make. We make a choice whether we like it or not. We make one or the other choice, either to serve God or to not serve him. It's not an accident that we don't serve him. It's a choice that we are making. Verse 14 there says, death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire. And then God's judgment is finished. The lake of fire is the ultimate destination of everything wicked. Satan, the beast, the false prophet, the demons, death and hell, and all those whose names are not recorded in the book of life, because they did not place their faith in Jesus Christ. John's vision did not permit any gray areas in God's judgment. If by faith we have not identified with Christ, confessing him as Lord, there is no hope, no second chance, no other appeal. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So again, I say this not to scare anybody. I'm not bringing this message out to scare anybody, but it's rather to encourage us to walk with God and to find God if we don't have him, to find him and get our heart right and prepared so that when he does come, that we can be with him. And I thought I brought this confession of faith with me. because there's a few things written in there, what we believe. And I thought I would just read that. It says, heaven or hell. It says, we believe and confess that heaven and hell are real places. People who die without Christ will live eternally in a burning lake of fire, being tormented in the flames, which we just read a verse or a chapter there where it talks about the lake of fire. And those will be the people that are not serving the Lord. And I might just turn to a few more reference there in Matthew 13, verse 49 and 50. I said, you don't have to turn to all of these if you don't want to. I might go a little bit too fast for you to keep up with me. Matthew 13, 49 and 50. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So we can see that the lake of fire is nothing very pleasant to be in. It's something that I believe each one of us would say, oh, we don't want to be there. And we don't have to be there if we make the right choices. And what a blessing that is, that we have a choice other than that, that we have more than that one choice, and that is to follow Christ, serve Him. Revelation 14, verse 11, I think it talks about it again. Revelation has got a lot to talk about that. Revelation 14, verse 11, says, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Again, that's the smoke and the torment in that place that we have read about, the lake of fire. Again, it's a smoke and things that we wouldn't want to be in. So then, the result of sin is unending separation from God. It's a separation from God, and it's an unending. It's something that will never end if we get there, because human beings are created in God's image. With an inborn thirst for fellowship with Him, separation from God will be the ultimate torment and misery. Sin always brings misery, but in this life, we can choose to repent and restore our relationship with God. In eternity, there will no longer be opportunity for repentance. If in this life, we choose to be independent of God, in the next life, we will be separated from Him forever. Nobody is forced to choose eternal separation from God, and nobody suffers this fate by accident. Jesus invites all of us to open the door of our heart to Him, to open the door of our hearts to Him. Jesus wants each one of us, He wants you and He wants me, to follow Him, to do what is right, serve the Lord, and so that we can spend eternity with Him, not eternity in the lake of fire. We have that opportunity today yet. If we need to make a choice, I would beg that you would make the choice for God. Revelation 3, verse 20, 21. Said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. So he's there waiting for you and me. He's there, and we can come to him and knock, and he will open. He will hear our voice, and he will open the door and let us in. And if we overcome, then we will get to sit with him on his throne. That's what the Bible says. We will get to sit with him on his throne if we follow him. Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. Every time we sins, we should turn to him. He wants to have fellowship with us. And he wants us to open up to him. He is patient and persisting in trying to get through to us, not breaking and entering, but knocking. He allows us to decide whether or not to open our lives to him. Again, we see that we have a choice. It's a choice that we make. It's not by accident. It's a choice that we make ourselves, either to serve God or to serve the devil. And then on the other side there, read a little bit more here about heaven. We talked about hell there. It says, people who die in the Lord will live eternally in heaven with Christ, experiencing blessings beyond our comprehension. And there's a bunch of scriptures there for that. I'm going to read a couple of them. I'm not going to read all of them. So I might just turn to Matthew, verse 34, 35, and 36. Matthew 25, starting in verse 34, says, then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I am an hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. I think I've already read that, but it's just a blessing. I believe that the righteous will hardly even notice that they do those things. Yeah, they might notice, but it almost seems like, you know, when God will tell him that they done these things, when did we really do that? And he will tell him again that they have done it for him. And it's something that we do, I believe, out of the heart. It's not something that we just grudgingly do because, oh, we have to do it. It's something that is, that we're going to be willing to help others, willing to love our neighbor as ourselves, do for others what we would do for ourselves. If we see a need there, then we should want to do something for them. That has happened for us. You know, just in the last week or two, some needs we had that were met. And I just bless God for that. Those things, God is taking record of those things. People that do good deeds for others. It's not something that they are forced to do, but something that they're willing to help out for others to do. And it also, in our statement of faith here, it talks about the second coming of Christ, which I might just read that. It says, we believe and confess a physical return of Jesus Christ to the earth. He shall come in like manners as he left. We shall look forward to and expect the coming of the Lord. This hope will cause God's people to purify themselves. That hope that we have to see our Jesus return, it will cause his people to purify themselves, to repent, to ask God for his help and to cleanse us from all sin and evil things. It will says it will cause God's people to purify themselves. And there's some scripture reference for that. I'm just going to pick out one. In Acts 1, 9 through 11. It says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast towards heaven as he went," it's talking about when Jesus ascended up into heaven, "said, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." This is just a scripture that brings out, you know, that Jesus will return. Jesus will return and take his people with him. In Luke, it says that, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is God's pleasure. God wants us to be in his kingdom. And he has a lot of mercy and love for us. He's not a God that takes us by force. He's a God that takes us by love. He loves us, and he wants us to have that same experience. Revelation 21 verse 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Isn't that a wonderful scripture there? That we can be God's son if we follow him. God's son, being God's son, if we overcome these evil things, overcome the world, and allow God to rule in our hearts. In John 14, verse 1, 2, and 3, there's another blessing that we can have if we follow God. John 14, verse 1, 2, and 3 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So we see here that he went to prepare a place for us. And if we follow him and if we love the Lord, then when he returns, we can go and be with him in that place that he is preparing for us, or that he has prepared for us. Another blessing that we can have, to be with God forever. The blessings in heaven, being in heaven. I'm not going to do a lot of explaining how heaven is. I mean, we can. Actually, I think I'll read a chapter in Revelation 22, which I might read here after a while. God's final judgment is good news. Don't you think it's good news to know that there is a judgment coming? Why? Because life doesn't make sense if there is no judgment. If there are no standards, if anything goes, if there is no accountability for what we do, just imagine a world where there are no consequences for what we do. It would be a world full of sin, chaos. It would be not very good if there were no standards, no consequences for what we do. People would run wild and oppress and mistreat those who are weak. A world without judgment is a world of no order. Even the world out there that don't know God, they have judgment. They have a court system that they have to have certain standards, certain laws to keep this world in order, to keep it from just being chaos and everything else. Even though sometimes it seems like it's just all running wild, but there is still some law and order out there that is good to have for those people out there in the world. The final judgment reminds us that God is good, that He is holy, and that He can't tolerate evil. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians, I'm going to turn to that and read a couple verses there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. Which is an manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. And it's talking about here, just a verse before that. Maybe I'll just read that. Just so what we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that ye endure. This is Paul here speaking, I believe, to the churches that, you know, with the patience they had and the being persecuted and tribulation, that they endured all that. And then verse 5 said, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffered. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So we can also see that we have to go through tribulation and persecution, but God's encouragement to us is to endure through all that. And then here it says that it is a token. It's a manifest token of righteousness, judgment of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5, said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. As for the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. So we are also to comfort those that we see going through difficult things, because God has comforted us and he wants us to do likewise. As we live for Christ, we will experience troubles and hardship because we are trying to be God's people, because we're trying to do what is right in a perverse world. Some say troubles are a result of sin or lack of faith. There's people that I have talked to, you know, it might be people that don't know God, but they think, there's some people that think because things happen to you, like two trees fell on my barn and messed up the barn, so therefore I must be in sin because God allowed that to happen. There's actually people out there that think that way, but that is not true. Just because that happened does not mean that somebody's in sin. God allows that to happen to the just and the unjust, just as well as He allows it to rain on the just and the unjust. But Paul teaches that may be a part of God's plan for believers. Our problems help us to look to God, ask God to help us. They help us build strong character, and they help us be sensitive to others who also must struggle. Your troubles may well be a sign of your taking a stand for Christ. A token. Your troubles that you have might be a token for righteousness. That when you come before God, then you have those tokens. Maybe I'm just putting that out there. But He will know, God will know what all you went through. And He will know whether you stay steadfast in Him, serving Him, or whether you fall away. So may the Lord bless you as you go through life and things happen to you. It's not just because something bad happens to you like that. This does not mean that you're in sin. Does not mean that God don't like you. In fact, it's probably the opposite. God loves you, and He allows those things to happen, and it's a test for us to see, you know, are we going to continue on with Christ, or are we going to get upset at Him because these things happen? That is not God's heart. Is God does not do those things to make us mad or to just something that we need to endure. And God will give us the strength to do that. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. I think I'm just going to read the whole chapter through. It's the last chapter in the Bible, and it's a wonderful chapter. It said, "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their forehead." As we read this chapter, it makes me think of that new city that we might be someday with the Lord if we stay faithful. In verse 5, going on, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And He said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servant the thing which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of this prophecy of this book." And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the saying of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you the things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bride and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So there's a lot of things in this chapter here for us to think about, to meditate on. If we take away from the Word of God, then our name is not going to be written in the book of life. And if we add unto it, then it will add these plagues. Add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So the best thing for us to do is just, you know, take the Bible, read it, and take it for what it says. And also, you know, we have our brothers here. If we need help to figure things out, they're I'm sure we have some here that are willing to help and to do what they can to be a blessing and the final judgment should motivate us to witness and proclaim the gospel to the lost. Now, we don't know the hour or the day when Jesus is coming, but he will come. The scripture makes it clear, plain and clear, that he will come someday. This is good news for those who trust him, but a terrible message for those who have rejected him and stand under judgment. He may come at any moment. We must be ready for him, always prepared for his return. And again, I'm not just reading this, saying this to scare anybody. We still have that opportunity today to come to the Lord. But we don't know what tomorrow might bring. We don't know what the next hour might bring. We still have that opportunity. The choices we make in life matter. And they have eternal consequences. God is a holy God, and those who despise and reject him will face a punishment that will never end. And those who follow him and do his will be blessed forever and ever. Back in this circle where we used to come, they would usually preach to say that, you know, it's like a circle. There's no end to it. And it's like a circle. It just keeps going and going and going. There's no end to these things, to eternal punishment or being with God forever and ever. The gospel doesn't make any sense if there is no final judgment. As Christians, we proclaim that Jesus saves, that when we trust in him, we will be spared from the wrath to come. But the message of salvation in Jesus is pointless if there is no judgment. Many unbelievers today are sure of one thing. At death, all will be well. Everyone after death will be fine. Nothing bad will happen to any of us. But if they are right, the call to believe in Jesus for salvation is of no good. We may proclaim Jesus saves, but what does he say? What does he saves us from if there is no final reckoning? And the truth is that God will come someday and judge us, and we will be judged according to our works. We have just, you know, read that different times in the Bible. He will judge us according to our works. But those works are not just things that we write down, you do this and you can't do that, and it's not the works that I'm talking about. But it's the fruit that we bring forth in our life, the works that we do for God. Those will be the ones, the works that we will be judged by. And I had one more little thing here I was going to read to you before I close. Just a writing that I found somewhere, and it talks about, you know, the creation, the human race, it was created, and so forth. And then it talks about Genesis, what happened in Genesis there, and I'm just going to read it here. It says, the sun was created. Satan is victorious. Sin enters the human race. People run and hide from God. People are cursed. Tears are shed with sorrow for sin. The garden and the earth are cursed. The fruit from the tree of life is not to be eaten. Paradise is lost. People are doomed to death. And then in Revelations, the ending in Revelations is totally different than what the creation, at the beginning of creation, was. You know, man, God created man, and man didn't always behave himself wisely. Man didn't always follow God. And so, you know, Satan came and he was victorious and all that kind of stuff. But then in Revelation, the chapter that we just read, says the sun is not needed. Satan is defeated. Sin is banished. People are invited to live with God forever. The curse is removed. No more sin, no more tears or sorrow. God's city is glorified. The earth is made new. God's people may eat from the tree of life. Paradise is regained. Death is defeated. Believers live forever with God. And those are two totally different creations, and the one is talking about, you know, the life we're living now, and the next one is talking about a totally different city that God has created for those who believe in him and those that will follow him. So as you go from here today, I hope you was encouraged. And if I said something that was not in God's word or something that was not right, please remind me of that or tell me, come to me and talk to me about it. And may the good Lord bless you for listening.